I find myself in the morning often repeating the words of the psalmist, "This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." It certainly underscores the joy with which we should greet each new day. The affirmation comes out of Psalm 118, and if you have your Bible, let me encourage you to take the scripture and turn to this psalm. It is a portion of that scripture which the Jews call the Hallel, a term akin to our Hallelujah. It begins with Psalm 113 and continues through this 118th Psalm. The passage is a thanksgiving hymn sung during the great festivals of Israel, particularly the Passover. Very likely the worshipers, led by the king, would sing this passage antiphonally as they were in procession to the temple to offer the sacrifice upon the altar. The Hallel reaches a climax here in the 118th Psalm, as everyone that fears the Lord is called to give thanks for his eternal love. Note verses 1 through 4. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever." The psalmist next recounts how he called upon the Lord in times of distress, when all the nations were against him, and his position was like that of a dry thorn bush in the midst of a raging prairie fire. Yet the Lord was his strength and salvation. Note verses 5 through 16. "In my anguish I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them off. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things." Now at this point, the psalmist king asks for the gates of righteousness to be opened, that he may enter in and give thanks to the Lord. Verse 19. "Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord." An explanation in the next verse that this is the gate through which the righteous enter may be a response of the priest and the Levites within the gates. Verse 20. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. In its immediate context, of course, the gates of the temple are in view, but in the ultimate reference, the gates speak of Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, through whom alone we have access to God. The messianic meaning becomes particularly obvious as the procession enters through the gates, singing. Note verses 21 to 23. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. It is the prophecy of the Savior's rejection by the Jews and his consequent death. But it also clearly points to his glorious resurrection and the building of his church triumphant. Still marveling in the wonder of it all, the psalmist exclaims in verse 24, "This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Indeed, it is a time to sing praise to God. For the day of victory has come, and the people of faith have entered into the kingdom. In this joyous anticipation, they all join now in praying for God's deliverance and the success of his cause. Verse 25. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. A benediction is then addressed to the worshipers, perhaps sung by the priest inside the temple. In the next verse, blessed be he who enters in the name of the Lord, replying that God has enlightened their spirit to see, the worshipers initiate the actual sacrifice in verse 27. The innocent animal, probably a bullock, is laid on the brazen altar and bound with cords to the horns of the altar. A priest takes a sharp instrument and with one violent stroke cuts the throat of the helpless victim. As the blood streams over the altar, symbolizing absolute consecration unto death, the worshipers continue to sing praises to God. Verse 28 and following. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. Through the centuries, this psalm was sung by the Jews on their great festival days of sacrifice. Even though its full import eluded them, its words of blessing came to be uttered by the people welcoming pilgrims coming to Jerusalem for festive occasions, a practice observed by the multitudes, remember, when Jesus, too, entered the city the last time to keep the Passover. So fitting was the celebration in our Lord's visitation that had they held their peace, the very stones would have cried out. Yet, as Jesus later confessed with weeping, as he overlooked the city, the people did not know what they said. This was pointed out again after telling the parable of the wicked husbandman, when using this very psalm's figure of the rejected stone, Jesus explained how he would be treated by the unbelieving world. If the people had only understood the scripture which they recited so freely. A few days later, as Jesus observed the Passover meal with his disciples, this psalm comes into its most awesome focus. He had finished eating the Paschal lamb, after which Jesus, as head of the household, had explained the meaning of the day. Doubtless, he more fully interpreted the event in terms of his own mission soon to be completed at the cross. Though probably startled by these remarks, the disciples had joined in singing the first part of the Hallel, Psalms 113 and 114. And as the last refrain died away, Jesus took the unleavened bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took the third cup, called the cup of blessing. He gave thanks. He handed it to them, saying, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And with these words, Jesus introduced a new Passover. Perhaps at this time he gave them his farewell discourse, concluding with a high priestly prayer. The Passover meal ends by all joining and singing the second part of the Hallel, Psalms 115 through 118. That must have been a moving experience. Can you picture Jesus leading that little company through this psalm? Can you see him standing there as the head of this family of disciples saying, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good because his mercies endure forever. All the nations compassed me about, but the Lord is my strength and song. I shall not die, but live and declare the words of the Lord. He hath not given me over unto death." Can you see Jesus there with his eyes lifted toward heaven, the tears running down his face, singing, "Open the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and will praise the Lord. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Yes, this was the day to rejoice. Though he was betrayed into the hands of his enemies, though soon his disciples would flee from him, though he would suffer the excruciating death of the cross, yet this was the day for which he was made. The day in which, in obedience to the Father, he would effect in his own blood the redemption of the whole human race, and thereafter bring life and immortality to light through the gospel by the power of his resurrection. Jesus could see the coming glory of the kingdom, and in that joy, he continued to sing, Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. And when they had finished singing this ancient hymn, the Bible tells us Jesus went out into the night. The day had come for which he was born, and he rejoiced in it. Reflecting upon that day celebrated in this hymn, bring some applications for us. For one thing, we are reminded that every day God creates is according to plan. It is his handiwork, and God never makes mistakes. Nothing about time or space is haphazard. God does not work without purpose. And when each day is lived according to his will, nothing that happens is unimportant. Whether it be thought small or great, unnoticed by men or applauded by the world, whether it involve pain or ecstasy, God intends to work through the day for our good, that we might be conformed to Jesus Christ. That's a beautiful way to greet the day. Now, this underscores, of course, the necessity of measuring our life by the commitment of Christ. It was his sacrifice that obtained our salvation, apart from which there would be no real life, nor any hope for tomorrow. It's only because Jesus loved us and gave himself for us that any day can break forth with singing. It is the blood of his cross that satisfies the law and releases us from the bondage of death. He has paid it all. So we can never think of a day fulfilled except in Christ. Christ alone gives any ultimate meaning to history. And yet, because he is timeless, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the past and the future join each day to fill the present with the glory of eternity. Our joy thus comes in obedience to the will of God. Here was the secret of Christ's own joy as he moved toward Calvary. A joy which the world can never give nor take from us. And he has prayed that this same deep inner peace might be fulfilled in his disciples. Some time ago I noticed an inscription painted over a church door. It was taken from the 100th Psalm. There it was in bold letters. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. the words seemed quite appropriate, where they expressed the way I like to enter the house of God. Isn't that the way you like to enter into His presence? Then I remembered right before that it says in the psalm, ye are the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And as I pondered what this meant, I could think of only one reason why sheep would ever be taken out of the pasture and led through the gates of the temple to appear in the very courts of the holy sanctuary. They came to be offered on the altar as a living sacrifice unto God. The psalmist is talking about us. We are the sheep. And in entering into the presence of God, we come to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice on the altar. That is why we come in thanksgiving and in praise. By pouring out our life to Him, we are no longer our own. We belong to Him who has won the victory. And before Him every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And in this certainty, we can live on tiptoes. The praise of Jehovah should fill every moment with gladness. For if we live, we live unto the Lord. If we die, we die unto the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Whatever comes, you see, this is the day the Lord has made. And we will rejoice, for it is His creation, not our own. And as a gift of God, it is a day to celebrate. Let us worship before the King. With the angels, with the archangels, the seraphim and the cherubim, the white-robed elders, that vast throng that no man can number, from every tongue and tribe and kindred and nation. Do you hear them? They're singing and praising the Lamb. He has won the victory. Oh, let us rejoice and give honor to Him, for this is the day the Lord has made, and we can celebrate. Give us a heart to praise You, O God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that always feels Your blood so freely shed for me. And Thine is the power and the dominion and the glory forever. Amen.